Yeah, computer. Were there other kinds of things besides the writing club that you were involved in?
Oh, I imagine there were a lot of things, because they used to have bulletins about it, and they had, oh, they had everything you'd be interested in, I guess, but I don't remember much of anything else, because I just, the writing I did like. And I know there were a lot of sports of all kinds, and I can't remember what else.
Do you recall activities that were sort of family activities that you would bring your children to also?
No, I don't remember anything like that. I think they had a big family. Well, I didn't go because I never went to anything, but it seemed to me they did have some kind of a big picnic for families. Once is all I remember. I don't know, because it was kind of hazy because I didn't go. So
once you started doing clerical work after you left the production floor, did you stay on days the whole time? You said you tried
no.
to switch back.
No, I went back to nights again because it just didn't work out working days. I was always tired. Nights was bad enough, but days was impossible.
You weren't able to sleep at night when you worked days?
Well, it was true. It was too much of I was always worried. When I was working nights, the children weren't dead. When I got home in the morning, I sent them to school. And so I just seemed to know where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And except I said I didn't know anything about Kathleen getting out the window and all that. But, I had some problems with Kenny, my oldest boy. Well, it was a bad time for all of them, but especially him, a boy of like 15. I think it's much, that time is much harder on boys than girls. Girls seem to handle it better. But it was a bad time on account of his age, and then we were so cramped and crowded in that place, and never enough money, and you know, always. And I was not a very good mother, a particularly good mother, because I let everything bother me. I let everything worry me. And I let everything upset me, which, that was all unnecessary. That's what difference did make. It all turned out somehow. But at the time,
just hold it inside yourself?
No, I'm afraid not. I took it out on everybody. Anyway, even if I did hold it in myself, you know, that was just as bad because I didn't give the best of myself. I was always worried and everything. Oh, it was terrible. And, sometimes it was all right. But, I had to leave at 11 o'clock at night. Well, Kenny wasn't home. One night, Kenny wasn't home when I had to leave. And I had to leave. There was no question of staying home from work because that would mean so many dollars on the next payday. So I called my sister-in-law. She was working at Lockheed, but she was working afternoon shift. And she was still at work, and I called her, and I said, Kenny isn't home, but I have to go to work. And she said, that's all right, I'll go over there when I come home and see, you know. Because we knew he'd come home, it wasn't that he was gone anywhere, but he came home. So that's what we did. And within this house, the front door was glass, and Kenny slipped right inside the front door, practically, on a couch. And so she could see him. She could see him there. And then there was also, I got acquainted with the policeman in the car on that beat. And I don't know how I asked him. Anyway, they used to drive by my house, and he used to get out and put the flashlight in and see if he was there. And if he wasn't there, they were going to call me, see. Then I guess I'd have to come home. I don't know how I'd get home in the middle of the night, but anyway, he was always there. And until one time, he was 14 when he did this. He ran away one time. I don't know why. You don't have to have a reason. It's everything. I don't know whether I maybe chewed him off or something or what. But anyway, he ran away, and he was gone. And I went to the police station, and it was in June. I told him, I described him and everything, and he had dirty white cords. You know, that's what they wore. They couldn't be clean. That was a disgrace. And a blue shirt. And I said he was gone, so long. And the policeman said, he was so nice. He said, do you know how many boys wearing dirty cords and a blue shirt run away every June? And he told me, already that year, there's some hundreds, And he said, so I know how you feel, and I wish I could do something, but I can't do anything for you if he gets in any trouble. You'll get him, but... And so he came home. I think he was gone about 2 days, maybe three. And I had to go to work at night. That was an awful time. And he came home, and he said... I said, well, where did you stay at night? He slept in the bushes by the public library over at Lincoln Heights Library. And he slept in the bushes. A 14-year-old kid. And during the day, he went to Barbara Ann Bakery. It's around here somewhere. And he worked, swept the floor or something, and he got... cupcakes, I guess, for his dinner, I don't know, but he was hungry and tired and weary. He came home.
There was so much talk about the teenagers during the war years and juvenile delinquency, so it was such a big issue. Were you concerned?
I don't think those kids were so bad, and I don't remember that there were the zoot suiters, they weren't anything like what you hear now. But, I wasn't concerned about him getting into bad trouble or getting killed or anything. I was just concerned with where was he and how was he eating, that sort of thing. Because, before the zoot suiters were a few years later, because then... Oh, that was a great deal. One night, it was a Saturday night, I was home, it wasn't working. And somebody called me up from the Georgia Street Police Station. Your son is here. Come down and get him. And I said, what's the trouble? What did he do? What is it? Was he in a fight? I could see him bleeding and everything. And he wouldn't tell me. He said, no, he's all right. He's all right. You just have to come and get him. So I went out, and I went downtown. And I didn't know where Georgia Street is. It might have been a Timbuktu, for all I know. I asked the streetcar driver, how do I get to Georgia Street? So he said, you change at First Street and take the P car. So I got on the P car, and I went the wrong way. He didn't say which way, and I was going the wrong way. So then I had to get out and go back and go the right way. So by the time I got there, it was quite a long time. I don't know how long, a couple of hours more or something. And everybody, all the kids were gone but Kenny. So that's all. They wouldn't tell me anything. He said, no. I said, well, is he arrested? What is this? He said, no, he's not arrested. After curfew, he's all right, take him home, get him out of here. So I got him home, and he had a pair of, he bought himself, he always worked, he pants, peg tops, they call them, peg tops, shoes, the soles, that big, duck tail. And I was so furious when I got him home. You know, I used to say to him, sit down in that chair. He'd sit down, and then I'd start pointing at him. He'd say, no, I'm not. No, you'll hurt me. You'll hurt me. I couldn't hurt him, you know, or anything. You'll hurt me. But so that's why I did sit down in that chair. I'd start pointing at him, and then I said, take those pants off. He took his pants off, and I cut them up. You know, it was ridiculous. That didn't have anything to do with anything. It's not the pants that's in here. But, oh, yeah, was, that's what I mean. I wasn't, I didn't think I wasn't a good mother in that way. Calm down. Not, you know, I came apart at the seams, everything that happened. So anyway, that was the end of that, and I went to work Sunday night, and this girl I worked with said, oh, she said, my sister saw... She lives at such and such, I forget what they call it, some corner over here. She said she lives there at the corner of Los Feliz or something. She said she looked out her window Saturday night, and here came all these police cars. She said they came from all directions. They came to the mall shop. She said they took all these kids in the cars and took them away. I said, yeah, I know. One of them was my son. And that's what it was. It was, they were out, they were in the, I suppose they were helling around and making trouble in the mall shop, but it was after curfew. And so it was, they went, then I heard later, the police said, oh yeah, they made raids all over the city that night, all these mall shops and everything. And they took 300 kids.
Did you have some sort of association with the peg pants and the duck hair?
Well, you know, those kids, that was, those kids that wore those things were the ones that, you know, I don't know what they ever did. They never did anything to me, but, you know, they were the kids that were, like the bad kids, you know, the other kids, the square kids, the squares, didn't wear those things, but these were the Sharpies. I associated with the...
Pachuco?
That's how it was, you know, the pachucos and the zoot suiters and that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were always, those poor kids were always, and they still are, always getting in trouble, those Chicano kids. And I just thought, oh, you know, if he didn't dress like that and wasn't one of them, he'd be a nice quiet kid like Grace was. Trouble at all.
Did you, was Grace basically sort of the head of the household and took care of things when you were gone?
Yeah, she used to pretty much take over. Though I never taught her anything. I never taught her to cook or anything, you know, as I should have. But, one time she made Kenny's lunch for school. It's one of the rare times that he went to school. And when I went up that afternoon, and they were kind of fighting, you know, about this. Said, you know what she gave me for lunch today? Two pieces of white bread with a piece of pumpernickel in the middle. And she said, I thought it was lunch meat. This pumpernickel was square, you know, it was in the refrigerator.
The two younger children, did you have any problems there?
No, they were, I shouldn't say that, problems. Grace was the only one. Grace was the only one, they all went to the same school, Nightingale, and then they went to Franklin. Grace was the only one of my children that nobody in school knew. None of the teachers, the supervisor, what do you call them, the principal, nobody, they didn't know her. Said, oh, you got a daughter too? But they knew the others because they were, Kenny'd be fooling around. They thought he was fooling around in the lockers. She was in the locker room when he shouldn't have been. And, they, you know, it's supposed trying to steal something. I don't know whether he was or not, but anyway, he was there when he shouldn't have been. And I had to go to school for that. And then he was, you know, he was never went to school. He was always cutting school. And the same way with Kathleen. She was always, I went to school. Kathleen was at Nightingale. I went up there one time. And the teacher took out, long as my arm, all these notes that I had written. Excuse me, I never wrote any of them, but she had my signature down perfect.
Now, how did you handle all of this, and you'd come home, try and sleep during the day when you had all this happening with the kids? How did you handle things?
Well, not very well. I just fumbled along, and, you know, everything, like I said, I'd come apart at the seams, and instead of taking it calmly and seeing what's the, well, I knew what was wrong. There was, you know, you wouldn't have to worry, you wouldn't have to question what was wrong. We were just too crowded in this place, and you know, not enough supervision. I wasn't, you know, I was asleep half the time and gone the other part of the time. And I knew what was wrong, but I just couldn't seem to do anything about it, and I couldn't cope with it quietly and rationally, so that it was a lot of it was my fault.
Would you discuss these kinds of things with other women at work? Were they experiencing
something? Oh, well, and I was always telling them all these things that happened and everything. You know, all they'd say is, when I come into work, they'd say, well, what did Bill say today? What can he do today? They just laugh at it, I guess. But, I don't know. I just felt sort of going through all this blindly. Someday they'll grow up, you know. I don't know. That was not good.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your financial situation in terms of pay and pay increases. You said that it was always difficult to get problems with food.
Yeah, we had problems with food and shoes. Stuff like that. Well, Grace was 12 when we came here. So when she was, as soon as she, well, in high school. So I suppose it would be 3 years later or something. She got a job in Bandicamp Bakery, you know, on the over there on wherever it is. And every kid we ever knew all got jobs at Bandicamps. Good old Bandicamps. So she got that job, and that helped. She made $5 on Saturday, and that helped. She bought clothes and shoes and stuff for herself. She did quite a lot with it, because she's very good about money. And as I remember, one Saturday she was so tired. She had been to a school dance on Friday night. And she said, Prince, you can stay home. You know, you're going to, you know, there's no sense in killing yourself. She said, Mother, I can't stay home. It's $5. So that helped. And then Kenny, of course, he always had a job of some kind or another. And he was able to buy himself things. So that helped a lot. But still, it wasn't. And then, of course, the problem with food was, besides money, the food was so miserable, you know, you couldn't get anything. And the shoes. Poor Bill, he'd come and show me his shoes. Mom, my shoes, look at my shoes, you know, they're wearing out. I'd say, don't show me that. I don't have the money for shoes for you. So, and then the next thing, he'd come with the whole sole of the off flapping, you know. Why didn't you tell me that? Don't let them go like that. We could have had them fixed. Well, I tried to tell you. See, that's the kind of things I did. Stupid.
How much were you making at that point?
How much?
Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea. I don't remember. I think when I first went there, I was making $34 a week.
Uh-huh.
I think I remember that figure. It was about like that something. But I have no idea how much money. That's something I don't. Money. I don't think about it. I don't. You know. I. Yeah, worry, well, I never have enough. But I don't, you know, and I don't know how to handle it, I guess, good, because I never have any. It's always come on.
When you switched into the clerical work, were you on hourly or salary?
Oh, it's all hourly.
It's all hourly.
Yeah. It's always like that.
And was that more or less money than you were making?
Well, I made a little more money because I always got, you know, we got raises periodically.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I wouldn't have gone if it was less money.
Were you working on,
No, it's a, well, 5 days, 40 hours, 40
mm-hmm.
hours.
Oh, so you didn't
sometimes, sometimes I worked Saturday, and I think that was, in clerical too, I worked Saturday. And Mondays and nights and 9 days a week, it wouldn't have been enough money. I know. You know,
how
it's terrible.
How do you handle the household chores, like shopping and laundry, that sort of thing?
That's another thing I failed in. I did it. Instead of making those kids do it. No, I did everything. Well, like Grace used to help, you know, by, she'd see that the kids came home from the playground or, you know, I don't know, something, and like she made Kenny's famous lunch that time. So I guess she must have been making his lunches. But everything else, like shopping and the laundry and everything, I did it myself. I delegated some of this, I wouldn't have had quite so many worries.
Now, when would you do it?
Well, my spare time. Oh, I don't know. When I'd get up in the afternoon, I know, I remember going to the store, you know, going to the market or something, and then I guess on Sunday, you know, Sunday, I remember Sunday I used to be working around the house all day. I guess that's the only day they ever got a good meal, because every once in a while somebody would tell me, remember on Sunday you used to make such
and such. Do you recall to the family, did you have any kind of activities or social life at all, for instance, on Sundays?
Oh, no, I really didn't then, because I didn't care. I was just as happy as if I had sense. Because I had too much to do, and I didn't do anything. All the time I was working there, I never did anything but work, come home and get ready to go to work again. But I make it sound so dreary and awful. It wasn't. It was marvelous. I had all these four gorgeous, beautiful children that were so smart and everything bright, and we'd listen to the radio and we'd sing, and you know, it was, we had fun. I make it sound like it was.
Well, it was hard. It was hard.
Yeah, it wasn't a barrel of laughs all the time, but we had fun.
What were your expectations at that point for your children?
Well, Grace used to scare the living wits out of me. She said she was going to marry a rich man. She didn't care how old he was or what he looked like or anything, but she was going to marry a rich man. And I knew, you know, that was a teenager talking, but still I used to think, you know, I wonder. and then, of course, Kenny, I could see he wasn't going to go to school, yeah, or Kathleen either. I could tell by the way they were then, you know, they weren't going to keep on going to school. So, and Grace used to say, too, she said, we have all our hopes are in Bill. Bill, you have to do everything for us. You're going to be it. And he is making the most money now, I guess. And I have felt with all of them, I've always felt, well, gee, maybe I wasn't a very good mother. But they're not going to let me go hungry no matter what happens, so I got it made.
Did you have any particular hopes or dreams about what they might be, particularly girls?
No, I didn't think you know, really pick out any career for them. I just hope they would do something sensible, decent, be decent citizens, and whatever they want to do is fine.
What was your relationship like during those war years with all of so much work and time problems? There's so much to any of those kinds of functions?
Well, I didn't belong to the PTA. Yeah, I belonged to the PTA because they were always bringing home an envelope and I put money in it that way. But I did go to school activities when they had, you know, Father's Night or something. I'd go. And because I remember thinking, well, maybe I'm not going to be the, maybe I'll be the only father there that's not a man, but there were a lot of women used to go, a lot of women of the same boat. But, and I went through things like that, and Bill used to be in plays. Bill was in plays from the time he was could walk in kindergarten, in Sunday school in Connecticut. He used to be the plays one time. He was the one that welcomed everybody to Parents' Day or something it was, you know. And he had a little verse of four lines, and the last line was, "And I wish you all a happy day." You know, it's welcome to parents. And I'd say, "Say it peaceful." Of course, they told him at once, he knew it. But I'd ask, you know, I asked him a couple of times, and he said it for me, and then I asked him again, and he's, by that time, he was sick and tired of this thing. So he rattled it off, and welcome to parents, and blah, 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 and I wish you all a rotten, stinking day. Oh, Bill, you're not going to say that. No, he didn't say that. And so when Bill was in things at school, I always went to see him. And the others weren't, well, of course, I went to their graduations. If they graduated. They all graduated from junior high anyway. And the principal there in junior high, Mr. Campbell, his name was, he was so nice and so kind. When Bill graduated from there, he said, "Well, Mrs. McNeil, we had to sweat blood, but we got them through, didn't we?"
Kathleen, when you said Father's Day, it reminded me, did your husband have any contact at all with you and the children once?
Oh, he came here once. No, not then.
Did he write the children or anything?
No, he didn't even know they were living. The first Christmas that we were here, we got here in February, so the next year at Christmas time, I got a check from him for $100. I don't know who stood beside him then with a club and made him send me that. But anyway, so I spent $25 on each of them. I bought them, I remember buying them coats and things, you know. And so I wrote, I don't know how I wrote to him. I guess I could write to him at my brother's, but I remember writing to him and told him just what I bought, how I spent the money. I guess I thought, you know, maybe he'll send some more if I give a good account. But that was the last, that was it.